This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Come on.
Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, strong and powerful Wesley Gray. Wes, are you ready to do this?
Yes, sir. I'm always ready.
Excellent. Let's do this. Wes is the CEO of Alpha Architect. He is an MBA and PhD in finance, and he is a veteran of the United States Marines. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, you got it. My pleasure.
And I'm excited to have you on. Wes, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. So, yeah, personal story real quick. Kind of hit it, but yeah, Marine vet. Turned PhD, turned professor, turned asset manager. So I kind of got a little bit of everything. And now I got, you know, my 3 kids and wife in the burbs of Philly. That's about all you need on the personal side. I mean, as far as what we do, like our firm, Alpha Architect, has a, I guess you'd call it an impact mission to empower investors through education. And that really kind of just ties back to what I'm passionate about, which is just helping people learn about investing and finance and, you know, point them in the right direction.
I like that impact mission. So that's not an easy thing to try and quantify, but how did you arrive at that?
It was something where I'd always actually loved investing in finance, which is, you know, why I went and did all the pain and anguish of getting a PhD in it. Like, I just thought it was fascinating. And then I was a professor for 4 or 5 years. So I was just into teaching and helping people understand this stuff. And then when we had, gotten the business, we basically got seeded by this huge family. I was like, hey, I don't want to just do what everyone else does. I want to have a shop that's, you know, stands for something bigger than just, hey, we go try to pick stocks and make money like everyone else. I wanted it to stand for something that, you know, I thought was more meaningful, where we could make more impact. And what are we good at? Well, I'm not like a sales guy. I'm not like an operations guy. I'm a PhD geek that knows a lot about finance crap. So I was like, and I like teaching, and so do a lot of my colleagues and teammates. So, hey, we're going to go out there and help people learn about this stuff. And yeah, we have products on the side, and they may or may not be appropriate for you. And sure, maybe out of the 100 people that read our blog and, you know, read our books, maybe one will actually use our stuff. But, you know, big picture, that's enough to keep us in business, and we still get to help out 100 people. So we just thought it was kind of a, you know, good mission and something we were passionate about, and just makes us excited about going to work every day.
No, I love it. So I certainly appreciate that. And the idea of empowering through education, I think everybody can appreciate that. And I saw on your website you talk about creating sustainable investors. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, kind of the reason for empowering investors through education is, and you probably know this, having been in the advisor space for so long, is one of the biggest challenges is we all know how to be a good investor, right? Like, have a process, have a plan, focus on it, stick to it over the long haul, you know, save more than you make, all these basic ideas. But the issue is a lot of times people, they don't actually know the fundamentals. They don't know the basics of what they're getting into. And we think that's where education can be at least one component of that problem solving element there, where, okay, you're an informed consumer. Now, presumably you can make better decisions going forward. So that's where we think that if people know what's going on, at least at the margin or a little bit more than they did prior, they can be more able to be sustainable or stick through times when, you know, maybe your strategy is not working that well, or maybe someone on CNBC says, oh, your stock's a dog. You know, I'm shorting that right now, you know, because you're informed, because you understand what you're doing and why, i.e. you're educated and informed on your process, presumably you will become more sustainable over the long haul and not, you know, succumb to a lot of the issues that a lot of investors have, which is, you know, day trade, pay too much, think too hard, stress out, you know, make crazy decisions and what have you.
Yeah, and that's certainly something that anybody can fall victim to, and I think probably the vast majority of us do, and I'm certainly guilty of that. Mm-hmm. When I was in my 20s, I was even working in the industry, and I would mm-hmm. watch like Fast Money and those shows, and I'd be thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I need to be doing exactly what they're talking about, when in fact, that was probably the opposite of what I should have been doing, and so just empowering people to be able to sort of make heads and tails of that and say, you know what? Okay. You know, I understand that things go in cycles and I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to overreact.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing about our industry is in some industries, like there's an incentive to actually help people become informed. In our industry, it's actually the opposite. Like you want there to be a lot of complexity. Mm. You want there to be a lot of opaqueness because then you can charge more and confuse people more. So the issue is in our industry, there's a disincentive in many cases to actually help people understand what's going on. And that just obviously leads to bad decision-making, which we want to try to, you know, nip in the bud up front through helping people understand in the first place and then present them with decisions. And then they can, you know, either call you out or say, oh, that's crazy, you're a maniac, or, oh yeah, that actually makes sense. Thanks for actually explaining me why this is good or bad. So again, I just think in education specific in financial services, I think is a good idea. And I think there's a huge movement to move towards that as opposed to, you know, jamming down bad ideas down grandma's throat.
That seems to be
going the way of the dodo bird these days, I hope.
Right. Yeah. Only took 100 or so years. You know,
one of my well, they're still trying.
Sure.
Yeah, but I think Google and computers and technology of you know, and kind of the rise of the independent advisor and all this other stuff seems to be breaking the armor of a lot of the you know, old school methods out there.
One of my favorite quotes by Daniel Kahneman talking about the entire financial industry, saying that it's an industry built on the illusion of skill. Like, wow, that is a zinger right there, man.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, pretty much. You got it. And the best way I always think about it is I always tell people, like, investing is a lot like diets, right? Like, it's not hard. How do you lose weight?
Right.
Work out more, eat less crap.
Yes.
Like, it's just math, man. Like, but yet there's a million diets out there. You know, you could pay like a bajillion dollars to essentially get to that basic point. And it's, you know, it's just like investing. Like, you know, eat less, work out more is equivalent to, you know, own risk and be disciplined, and stick to it for the long haul. It, you know, but and there's 100 ways that people try to get you to that, but you know, they just like confuse you and charge you too much for it in general. But yeah, same problems everywhere, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's because there's people involved, Wes. So.
Yeah. No, I got it. I'm one of them, unfortunately. that's why I use computers to do everything. If I let my monkey brain do anything, I'd be broke as hell right now, just like everyone else. So I try to avoid making decisions when it comes to finance and investing. Just let computers do it for me.
For sure.
otherwise, I'll be Kramer up there hitting the sell, or the buy button.
Yes.
And that's probably not what I need to be doing.
Probably
that's,
not.
That's hazardous to my wealth.
Right.
So.
And then I saw that you talked about how you also, once you help create a sustainable investor through education, you help people mm-hmm. develop an edge. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Sure. So there's kind of two ways to, there's two components of edge that at least we theorize about in financial markets, right? Like, one is you've just got a smarter mousetrap than Joe Blow. And that's a really hard edge to maintain because you always got to have the next smarter PhD to come up with the next better mousetrap. So I think it's important to have a good mousetrap But I think, you know, trying to sustain that edge forever is probably unsustainable. The other edge is creating capital and creating discipline in the money that's in the strategy. Because there's a lot of edge out there, I think, in just being able to stick with strategies that we all know, quote unquote, work over the long haul. But in many cases, they can be really bad against some standard benchmark for a reason, right? Because everyone in the world like needs to beat the market every day. Not many people are in a position to think 20 years out. And so I think when you got like a reasonable process that maybe has a rough edge, maybe it's not perfect, but more importantly, you pull that rough edge with like sustainable capital that's going to stick with this strategy for a long time, that creates a powerful combination edge where it's kind of part strategy, but really part capital. Those two components, I think, can generate, you know, a lot of long-term benefits for people. Whereas, like I said, just trying to be the next smartest Albert Einstein of investing, I think it's too hard. It's like trying to, you know, be whatever, Jerry Rice. Like only one person gets to be Jerry Rice, not everybody. So maybe you aim to be, you know, in good shape and, you know, and run pretty fast and, you know, get the job done, which is still cool. You're not Jerry Rice. I guess if people don't know, Jerry Rice is a famous wide receiver. I guess he's an old school example, but, yeah, you know, edges, I feel like in the marketplace of today where it's just so competitive, and there's just too many brains out there. I still hugely believe in edge, but I think the edge is really a symbiotic relationship between strategy and capital source. I don't think you can have one without the other. And obviously Warren Buffett's a great example. Like capital source, money good, can stick through anything through thick and thin. And obviously his investment process is pretty reasonable. But had you been missing one or both of those, you know, it probably would have not ended up so well. So it's
got it.
Different take on edge than most, but
I like it.
It's just our theory on it.
Good stuff. So the PhD and a desire for educating mm-hmm. people and helping them become sustainable. So how does that, how would you describe your philosophy or approach to investing?
Well, it all kind of ties in. So one of the things that, you know, I came out of like academics, doing research, writing books, and we specifically focus in I guess you'd call it quant or systematic investing. So you're going to, it's kind of like Moneyball for stock picking, right? So you're going to say, hey, these stocks, the classic one might be value. We're going to go buy these cheap PE stocks and, you know, buy the 10% cheapest and rebalance that every year as like a simple example. So that very strategy, like we all know, works really well over the long haul. And everyone in the world could go back test it. Like, holy cow, if you just buy, you know, cheap stocks and hold them, you know, and rebalance them every year, you beat the market by 4 or 5%. And everyone knows that. That's like an open secret. But not many people actually offer products or strategies out there that do that kind of investing. And you got to wonder why. Well, I now know why. It's called career risk and relative performance. Because if you do that strategy, even though everyone on the planet Earth could go do their own analysis, you know, it clearly, quote unquote, works over the long haul. But it goes through these like 5-year performance stretches of like no good, you know, for anybody. You got fired for doing this. So what's odd is we actually specialize in strategies like that. So we say, hey, here's the long-term evidence. Here's the reality of this. It's an open secret. We're going to deliver it to you. But oh, by the way, you know, you probably want to size this correctly and you don't want to benchmark it against, you know, some standardized index every day because it's very different. It's sometimes you'll be very happy, sometimes you'll be very sad, but you should just be very unemotional about it. So that's what we do, kind of concentrated factor investing that is, you know, definitely not for everyone would be the punchline, but certainly interesting for some.
Fair enough. Well, thank you for that. So a couple minutes ago, we were talking about how the more we can remove our brains from our lives, we're probably in better shape, and a lot of this through technology and with financial technology and robo-advisors and all these mm-hmm. things coming into the marketplace. How do you view that, and how do you think that people can benefit from those things?
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because on one hand, like, all the technology, all the transparency, all the data, all this information could theoretically make us better decision makers, right? Because now it's not, you know, a few people in the shiny tower at Wall Street that have all the information. Everyone has the information. So that's a potential win. But then going back to the fact that, well, we're actually humans, what would be the potential downside of tons of information, tons of access, tons of computing technology? Well, frankly, it's the ability to act and actually think you know what you're doing. So, for example, there, you know, I can now go on a computer in like in 2 seconds, I can analyze every statistic about every stock and generate a portfolio, right, with our systems we have set up. That's awesome. The problem, though, is there's also things like Robinhood. Are you familiar with, like, the Robinhood app?
Yes.
Yeah, so the Robinhood app is amazing technology, but it'll literally, like, beep you and give you a text message if, like, your stock moves by 1%, i.e. encouraging activity, encourage you to do something, encourage you to get more emotional. And so I think what's going to happen is everyone's saying right now, oh, technology is making, you know, people better decision makers, making markets more efficient. I actually think in the end, when it's all said and done, it's actually going to make people just do what Jack Bogle said originally. They're going to trade more. They're going to make more worse decisions. They're going to become overconfident because they have tons of information that they actually think is predictive of something. And so I think it could end up being a double-edged sword where all this extra really cool stuff just enhances the behavioral problem. And so that ability to either step back and, you know, build a system or have like some intermediary, you know, help you out and just protect you from yourself was not going away anytime soon, basically.
Yeah. Well, I think that really resonated with me, what you just said, certainly making us overconfident to think that we're already falling victim to that bias all the time. Like when I think about how much better driver I am than all the other drivers on the road. I don't know if that's overconfident anyway, but I think 100%.
Yeah. The best way to explain that is there's a bunch of these psych studies out there where they're literally, they have something that the people need to predict and they forecast, right? And what they'll do is they'll systematically, they have data points that have a lot of predictability. And then like the 90th data point is just literally noise. And so what they'll do is they'll give some people like 3 or 4 data points and they'll say, hey, tell me how confident you are in your forecast. And then they'll give some people 5 data points all the way out to like 100 data points. And what you notice is that as you give people the basic information, they have a good forecast and they have good confidence. Problem is, as you give them too much information, their forecast doesn't improve at all. But their confidence in that forecast goes up exponentially. It grows linear with information. So, and that's what I see in the information age is people's ability to actually predict what's going to happen is not changed, but their confidence in their ability to predict things is growing linearly with data, which is basically directly overconfidence. Like you believe in your own bull too much is the technical term. And I just see that getting worse and worse as more and more people have access to stuff that they think is helping them, you know, predict the future.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And that really, I think, goes back to the importance of becoming an educated investor and becoming a sustainable investor. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Well, Wes, Savage Nation is ready for your difference making tip. What do you have for them?
Man, I think it's a good tip. I don't know if they will, but like my whole life, and it kind of boils down to what I learned in the Marine Corps is this idea of no pain, no gain. And even though that's obviously more Marinism, I feel like it's totally applicable in investing and it protects you from a lot of bad stuff. So just always remember that, you know, no pain, no gain in investing. If there isn't some sort of pain associated with it, don't expect to have some sort of gain associated with it. And as long as you just, you know, manage to hold that in the back of your head, I think it'll serve you well on a go-forward basis as you try to make decisions in the financial services space.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
And Wes, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Basically, just hit our website, alphaarchitect.com, or on Twitter, at alphaarchitect. And that's where we're always jibbing and jabbing about, you know, quant and investing stuff.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Wes your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to alphaarchitect.com. Find him on Twitter, and I'll list both of those in the notes of the show as well. Thank you again, Wes.
You got it. Appreciate it for having me.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. Before I go, quick announcement. I've been asked by so many people over the past couple of years about how do I start a podcast, that I've developed and released a course that will teach you exactly how to do that step by step, from figuring out the kind of show that you want to have to understanding how all the technology works behind it, and then how to get great guests and keep the thing moving and how to grow it. So if you're interested in that, check it out. You can go to georgegrumbacher.com/podcast course and you'll find it there. You can just go to the website. I'll also list that in the notes of the show.
What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on!
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there, because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more, and sign up. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to chumbacasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.